Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk to Adam Teicher from ESPN, who joins us right now. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good, Stephen. I'd ask how you guys are doing today, but I have a pretty good idea.
Oh, we're all over the place, all over the map, like normally.
Do you have a feeling for how Jake's doing?
Yeah, that's kind of where I got that. That's kind of where I got it from.
Well, you know what?
Today's a new day.
That's right.
Catch his breath here. He's ready.
Or tomorrow is a new day.
Every day's a new day. That's right.
Right. He's ready to move on. Okay, let's talk about Chiefs players on the injury report. And I guess the two biggest questions would be Charvarius Ward and Sammy Watkins. What are the odds that one or both of those players play tonight?
Well, Watkins, it was kind of trending that way. I think the Chiefs were pretty optimistic as the week went on that he was going to be ready to go. So we'll see on him. But, you know, I know he doesn't produce a lot in terms of consistently in terms of, you know, his stats and stuff. But I tell you what, I've broken down the difference in the Chiefs' production when he's in the game and when he's not in the game. And it's dramatic how much better they are when he's in the game. Pat Mahomes' quarterback, his QBR is around 81. When Watkins on plays that Watkins is in the game, it's around 67. When he's not, they convert third downs at better than 50% when he's in the game and about 35% when he's not. They run the ball almost 2 yards per carry better when Sammy Watkins is in the game. So I think it's pretty important. They need him tonight. So I think it's looking good, but we'll find out more later. I think it's looking good for him. Now, Ward, that might be a more of a game time call and how comfortable he is, you know, with all that and playing. You know, he had some kind of wrapping on that fractured hand of his at practice this week. So might just be a matter of how, you know, how well he can function with that thing on. But so, you know, he's a little harder to read right now. But the Watkins thing, the Chiefs seemed to be optimistic that he was going to be ready to go.
Wow, that's crazy when you throw those numbers out there about Watkins, because just thinking about it, I would say I would think they would need Ward a whole lot more than they would need Watkins, considering the depth at one position versus the depth at the other. And a lot of people have said that Sammy Watkins' production hasn't justified the contract. Obviously, what he did in the playoffs last year would be the counter that most people have made to why he's been worth the contract, but when you throw those numbers out there about how much more effective Patrick Mahomes is when Watkins is on the field, even if his production doesn't necessarily, you know, measure up to that, why do you think that is? Why is he so important to the offense?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can look at a lot of factors with that. I mean, you know, defenses obviously feel like he's a threat. I mean, you know, you look at how the coverage is, and I think you know, opposing teams feel better when he's not on the field. And think about it this way. You know, when the Chiefs fought hard, as you remember, to keep Sammy Watkins back in February and March when free agency was starting, they needed him to take a pay cut, but they really wanted to keep him. They really wanted that badly. If you thought you were as good without Sammy Watkins and you thought maybe DeMarcus Robinson or Mecole Hardman or anybody else could do the things for you that Sammy Watkins could do, why would you fight so hard? Why would it be so important for you to keep Sammy Watkins? That's the question I've kept asking myself. And I know a lot of people were hyping Mecole Hardman as the season got started, and who knows, maybe he'll still have a big year. But I'm thinking, no, I don't think so, because the Chiefs obviously don't think that. I mean, if they thought Mecole Hardman was ready for a full-time role, that he was ready to be an every-down type of player, I don't think Sammy Watkins would be here right now with the Chiefs. So I do feel like Watkins, you know, while, yeah, fans get frustrated with his lack of production from time to time, and I get that, but he just seems to make a difference when he's playing. And of all games, you know, they're going to probably need to score some points tonight to win this thing.
Adam Teicher is our guest. What type of role do you expect Mike Pinnell to play tonight?
Yeah, I think they'll throw him in there and get him involved right away. You know, you remember last year when he showed up, he made almost an immediate impact on the run defense. Things started to turn around almost right after he got here. So I think Pinnell will play, and the Chiefs will get him involved, particularly on running downs, and maybe he'll have some kind of impact.
Do you think that you mentioned how last year he came in and he basically hadn't been playing? Is he ready to play like a full load of whatever he would normally play, or do you think they'll ease him in a little bit?
Yeah, I think they'll ease him in. You know, this is a different year. You know, in a normal year, even though he was suspended, the Chiefs could have thrown him out there during the preseason and kind of got him in a little bit of football shape, but. You know, he's starting from scratch here. There, you know, other than the hitting that Chiefs did in camp, which has been a while now, he's not really in football shape. So I don't expect he'll play the full game or anything like that. But he never really did. You know, he's always been more of a part-time rotational kind of player. So I do expect the Chiefs will mix him in, though, particularly with Colin Saunders being out.
Adam Teicher is our guest, and I saw a tweet having some fun with the Chiefs linebackers. Eric Eager from Pro Football Focused tweeted out about 20 minutes ago, the Chiefs linebackers are in my prayers right now. That's going to be a key matchup tonight. And he also wondered something that we've talked about the past couple of days. He said, I wonder if we don't see O'Daniel or Gay Jr. a lot. So I ask you that question. I know that Dorian O'Daniel was somewhat limited at practice this week, and Willie Gay Jr. is still trying to overcome the lack of a preseason and trying to get up to speed on what his position calls for. But do you think O'Daniel or Gay Jr. could play an expanded role in the defense tonight?
I feel like if that was going to happen, the Chiefs already would have, you know, we would have been seeing those signs that the Chiefs would have been working those guys in maybe more than they already have. I know, Gay played a little bit last week because he had to because of the injuries, and O'Daniels played a little bit too. But I feel like it's kind of early. It would be kind of sudden for that to happen. Not to say it won't, but I just feel like, the Chiefs are probably going to have to go with the guys they have, the veteran guys in there, including Ben Neiman. So, that's been a rough spot for the Chiefs, as we know. So, I know fans are waiting for some kind of for Willie Gay to get in the lineup and start helping out. But just based what little I saw last week, I think that would be kind of a sudden move. That would be an unexpected thing.
One of the areas that I'm curious about for this game is the Chiefs' offensive line, Adam, because there are still some newer faces, and Kelechi Assembly got rave reviews after the first week, but I think most people would agree that the offensive line kind of, the Chargers got the better of them for much of the game the other day. What do you think of this matchup with the Chiefs' offensive line against the Ravens?
Yeah, this is, that's the thing that the Chargers were able to do, is they were able to get pressure on Mahomes without blitzing a lot. You know, they pretty much played it straight up and still were able to win their share of the battles, but more than their share of the battles. So, you know, Baltimore is a blitz team. You know, that's they'll get after you. That's something the Chiefs have been preparing for all week, as we know. Now, we'll see how successful they'll be. But, that is an issue for them because – it was a problem for him last week.
Okay, here we've talked about some of the weaknesses that the Chiefs have shown early and what could be an issue tonight for them. Let's talk about the same thing with the Ravens. I know that they've looked like world beaters, but this is a team that the Chiefs have defeated the last 2 years, and this is a team that has flamed out in the playoffs. And so for the Chiefs to have things go right for them, what are some of the things that make the Ravens vulnerable? It's against the Chiefs and sometimes in big games. What could the Chiefs capitalize on tonight?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Lamar Jackson hasn't always played, or usually hasn't played well in big games. You know, he's 0-2 against the Chiefs, and matter of fact, when he was in town for the 101 banquet, he was the AFC Offensive Player of the Year. So I was talking about it, how he's done against the Chiefs, and he was pretty. You know, he was out front with it. He goes, "Hey, I'm 0-2 against these guys. You can't really call it a rivalry with Pat Mahomes until I beat him." So, he knows what the score is, but the fact that doesn't change the fact that he hasn't played well in these big games. Not that he's really played poorly against the Chiefs over the two games, but you haven't seen the MVP Lamar Jackson in those games. So, can they force him into some mistakes? You know, I'm wondering about that. You know, I was really disappointed in the Chiefs defensively last week. I thought, you know, everybody's talking about how they couldn't, at times move the ball. And yeah, that was a problem. But to me, a bigger issue was how they couldn't take advantage of Justin Herbert. So I don't know where the Chiefs are defensively right now, but I feel like if they play the way they're capable of, that maybe they can force him into some mistakes, because I feel like that can be a strength of the Chiefs defensively. So, you know, it always, to me, every time I look at a Chiefs game, it seems like I come down to that side of the ball, you know, the Chiefs on defense and whether they can do enough, whether the opponent can score enough to win the game and stay in the game. And to me, that's kind of where tonight is. I think the Chiefs will be all right offensively. It's whether they can stop the Ravens enough, is Baltimore going to run for 200 yards? I mean, that's a real concern tonight. You wonder a little bit about that. So I feel like if the Chiefs can play their game defensively and force Jackson into a mistake or two, they can win this thing. I think that's where maybe they'll have to win it. I just don't know if the Chiefs are capable of that right now.
Man, I'm just looking so much forward to this game. You know, like listening to you talk about that, I just feel like this. I feel like this game's going to come down to the very end, like it did the last 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, last year's game, you know, really shouldn't have. You know, remember the Chiefs had the big halftime lead, and the Ravens just wouldn't quit on the running game. You know, they kept running the ball and going on these long touchdown drives, and the Chiefs couldn't stop them. And all of a sudden, the Chiefs had to have that. Remember that third down screen pass to Darrell Williams so they could keep the ball. I thought really if they were going to give the ball back to Baltimore one more time, Baltimore was going to win that game. So they have been some interesting games, and I'm expecting a competitive close game. I it's almost like a flip a coin kind of deal. I know the Chiefs have gotten, you know, won this game the last 2 years, but that's kind of meaningless tonight. I think this may be the best Baltimore team the Chiefs have seen yet. You remember, the Chiefs got the Ravens last year, early in the year. They just been beaten by Cleveland and Baltimore had. So maybe the Chiefs got them at a good time. You know, that's the last, I think that's the last regular season game Baltimore's lost, right? They've won like, 14 in a row or something like that. So, I think this might be the best Baltimore team. We'll have to see.
All right, Adam Teicher, let us know what your prediction is. How do you think this game's going to play out, and what's the final score going to be?
Well, I'm going with the Ravens 34-31. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. You know, last year there was almost 1,000 yards of total offense between the two teams, 60-some points. I kind of see a similar game as that. I think each team's going to do its damage when it has the ball. And to me, the question comes back to what we talked about earlier. The Chiefs can force Baltimore into some mistakes. I think that they can definitely win this thing and probably will win this thing. So, to me, that's what I'm looking for. The Chiefs can force the Ravens into some turnovers, do some things they don't normally do, then I think the Chiefs will win this thing. But right now I've got it Baltimore 34-31.
Adam, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, guys. Hang in there, huh?
Oh, we're good to go. Jake, I don't know, but we're ready. Thank you very much, Adam. Real quick before we break, I know we've talked about a lot of different games and things that took place yesterday, and so that just reminded me of something I wanted to talk about today. You know, we all debated about whether or not Justin Herbert should be starting. The choice was taken away for Anthony Lynn by the team doctor. There was no decision to make. But so Justin Herbert, again, up and down, but he threw for 330 yards yesterday. Did you see the last play of that effing game? Not enough people have talked about what happened and how the Chargers should have won that game. And that's just, man, it's the Chargers. It seems like how many times have you seen them in position to win a game and they just don't do it over the past couple of years under Anthony Lynn? Did you guys see the final offensive play from the Chargers that ended that game?
Negative.
That
I'm trying to remember.
Have been, it was a hook and ladder play.
Oh yeah,
it
yeah,
was,
yeah.
It was there.
Yeah, it was there. Yes.
It was. He walks into the end. Eckler walks into the end zone. Jake, you didn't see that? Oh my good Lord! I don't even know why I was screaming. I was kind of screaming because I was like so on board with Herbert. I wanted him to do well, you know. But then I wanted the Chargers to lose at the end because they're in the Chiefs division, even though they're not a threat. So I kind of got little everything that I wanted. so for you to understand, Jake, check this out. So with 1:46 left, because of a phenomenal punt, the Chargers were down 21-16. They took over first and 10 from their own one. From their own one. Herbert drives them down the field to where they have one final play with 5 seconds left, I think, third and 5 at the Carolina 28. Just look it up on Twitter.
I'm watching right now.
Eckler just didn't catch the lateral, or he runs at he trots in the end zone. It was the perfect play call. Everything was done right.
I gotta go. I'm trying to go back and watch it now.
Little pump fake. Now throwing to the corner of the end zone. Jump ball incomplete. Keenan Allen was there.
So they had some shots at the end zone too,
right?
Huh? So this
that wasn't a bad
play.
Throw
this
either.
Is the last play. Yeah.
If I remember, it was it kind of a bad toss?
As he threw the ball. And the
It was just a touch behind him.
You got it. I don't care. You got to catch it.
Yeah.
The point is, it was there. But did you see the entire defense going one way?
Oh, they were all.
And Eckler was
going to
get in stride.
They were all going to the far sideline. They were all going to the far sideline.
That was six, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
He had the pylon.
And the reason I'm saying this because I'm quick to criticize.
Oh, then
criticize.
You're watching the old 22. Oh yes,
right.
Oh yes,
right. I'm quick to criticize Anthony Lynn.
That was a good call.
But and I don't want to hear it about Justin Herbert. You got a rookie quarterback in the second game starts the final drive with under 2 minutes left with at their own one, and should be talking about how he took them on a 99-yard drive to win the game. Anthony Lynn should be getting a massive amount of credit for that play call and making everything happen. And it's just, hey, we're the Chargers. Unbelievable. I just wanted to see what you guys thought of that play. Couldn't believe it when it happened.
It was there.
Oh, hell yes, it was there. Was it? And you, Jake, you saw it. Was it a bad lateral, bad catch, or just what?
I thought
he should have caught it.
I wouldn't think. I don't think anything was. It was just a bad miscatch. I mean, it was a tad off. But it's in your wheelhouse. It's not like you totally missed the guy.
Right.
I mean, it was a little bit behind him. It was going to be a hard play.
But he's in the end zone.
Oh yeah,
he's in the end zone. Right?
No question.
And they were already. You know what a great first win for Matt Rhule. They were already giving it to him. And like you said, he had another shot when he had Keenan Allen in the end zone.
Yeah.
What a dramatic finish. He started that drive at his own one.
I did see. I was flipping around, and I did catch some of that game. And that rookie, Jeremy Lin, he's good. Is it Jeremy Lin?
Jeremy Lin played in the NBA.
Linsanity.
Is it Chin? Chin.
Right, here we go. Now you're talking.
The rookie is like a safety for Carolina. He was a stud.
Nate liked him in the draft.
I really didn't
hear anyone talking about that at all, but it was there. I mean, they had a win, and they just, it was, That drove me crazy watching that. That was awesome. Okay, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Steve Levy, who will have the call of the game tonight, Monday Night Football, on ESPN. Back after this on WHB.